tonight. Book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 47. Luke, chapter 7, starting at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is it that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's go ahead and let's bow for prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful words of life, Lord. These are, Lord, I can't imagine if we had never known who was God and what his way was, if we just all of a sudden heard these four or five verses, Lord, and could begin to meditate on them. And that was all we knew about you, Father. It'd be an immense amount to meditate on and think on and wonder at, Lord. And it's wonderful that we have the complete revealed scripture, the 66 books of the Bible, Father. And we thank you for giving them to us. We thank you that this is something we have here, Father. And thank you for revealing yourself in this way to us. I pray that you would speak. I pray you give me the words, the mental capacity, the thoughts, the ways to illustrate, and just help me to explain your word. Help us to grasp just one truth tonight, Father. And I pray that you would pour your Spirit's power upon me, and may each one of us who hears this message, may it have the impact that you sent it out for, and help us and bless us in that way. We need you. We admit that understanding cometh by the Spirit, so please send thy Spirit's power and speak to us now in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, couple had a beautiful little girl they'd been expecting. They had no children, and little girl came, and she was just, you could look at her. There's, some babies are cuter than others. They're all cute. And if you're asking about your kid, it's cute. That's what I tell you, at least. And the baby was, but it was really one of those beautiful babies. She came out, little baby in ancient Israel, and parents are proud of her, and they had wanted children for years, and they finally had one, and that was to be their only child, and they had this child, and the child was beautiful, and she began to grow up and was happy. They were poor, and poor kids don't know they're poor until they get a television to show them to covet, and they usually don't know they're poor when they grow up, and they grew up, and she grew up and was happy, and her mom and dad loved her. Her dad was a very hard worker, lived in a little tiny shack, kind of on the edge of town, and didn't have much and didn't need much. They had each other. They all loved each other, and little girl began to grow up, be a happy, beautiful little girl, and she would play and do what most little kids do, and grew through her 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, and mommy taught her to read and right, and she grew up. They would spend time together, and one of their favorite things to do is they used to go out into a certain field, pretty far away, outside the next town over, and in that field they would have a picnic, and it was just a beautiful spot, and the dad loved the spot, and the dad his whole life had loved this spot, and he always loved going there, and it was full of flowers, and it was a beautiful field, and they would have a picnic there, and they would, the best memory of this little girl is she would go in, and there was a certain kind of flower she only saw growing there, and she would take those flowers, and she would always just smell them, because they were just the best smell in the whole world, and she loved that smell. You ever had that certain spot where there's just something you smelled, and you always, hopefully you stopped? I had one of our folks' house, they lived, somebody's had to visit every week, and they had the best, there was a rental house with the best smelling roses in the world. I mean, they just, I couldn't believe those roses. They smelled so good. And I would always stop, smell the roses, then knock on their door. And because they smelled so good. And this little girl loved the smell of them. And she would take the flowers and she would make necklaces out of them. And she'd take a bouquet to her daddy. And just that smell. You know how smells, they get familiar to you and they remind you of something. Later on, you smell it and you bring back that memory. And she loved that field. And they would go there several times during the good weather and visit the field. And she was a happy girl. And 10, 11, 12, 13 comes along, and suddenly a bad disease, a plague, went through their town. And in that part of the town that was kind of dirty, the dad, by the way, had told her, you know, someday we are saving our money. And they had a box, and they buried this box in the dirt floor of their little shack. And they said, we could live somewhere better now, but someday we're going to buy that field and build a house there. I'm going to be a farmer. And, well, in their little house on the edge of town, it was kind of dirty and dingy. And when the disease came through town, she found herself taking care of her mom and dad, sick with fever. And first it was her mom that passed away, and then her dad, sweating with fever. And of course, they didn't have the ability to have a doctor come help them, and she didn't know what to do. Her dad, as he was dying, told her, don't show anybody the box with the money, and it's buried there, and you're gonna have to find your uncle. He's your only relative, and don't tell him about the money either. And so, not long after, a couple of days after, Dad passes away, and she did not like her uncle, but she didn't know anybody else in the world. Just the little kids in the neighborhood, and nobody else. Everybody was poor in that neighborhood, and nobody wanted to take care of another mouth to feed. So she went over to her uncle in her cousin's house. Now her uncle, his wife had passed away, and he was a kind of a mean man. And she went and lived with him, and he was a cruel man and was cruel to his own kids and cruel to her. She had become a very, very, very beautiful young lady. And as she grew older and older, 13, 14, 15, became a very beautiful young lady. And one night she woke up with her uncle trying to be inappropriate with her, and she screamed and fought and yelled, and he said, fine, get out of my house and find your own way to live. And she in terror ran outside in the middle of the night. It was dark and scary, and she was young, and she didn't know what to do, and she was confused and scared, and she just ran crying through the streets, and she ended up in the wrong part of town. And a lady saw her crying and walked up to her and said, what's the matter, honey? And she looked at the lady, and the lady did not look like a real good, real nice lady. And said, she said, I have nobody left in the world. And the girl said, well, we'll take care of you. Come into our place. And took her into her house of ill repute. And the lady was a woman of the night. And her being a beautiful young lady was soon ruined and spoiled by the men in the town. And that began a horrible life for this young lady. Now, she lived there scared, but eventually she lost her purity. She was abused and filthy hands on her and everything else. And eventually she ran one day back to her house, and she was 18 by this time, and nobody lived in the house. So that area of town was somewhat abandoned by this time, and the house was such a shack, nobody wanted to live in it. And she looked around and saw nobody was looking. And she went and dug in the corner, and sure enough, there was the box of money. Now, it was a pretty good amount of money. And she said, you know, I might be able to live for a while in this and having to quit being abused and used and feeling filthy and depressed. But then she thought, no, Dad wanted me to buy the property, and someday I'm going to go buy that property. She did not know what else to do with her life, and she did not have any other skills or anything else. She tried for a while to go around town. And she found little jobs washing things and things like that. But eventually she found herself going back to what she knew. But she did not go back to the house. She just worked out of her little shack and lived in her little dirty shack of bad memories. With all the evil that she was experiencing and all the bad things that had happened to her and all the bad things she was seeing and all the heartache and all the pain and all the sorrow that she had felt, she became a very sad and bitter young girl. And soon she began to be tormented at night, and visions of dark things, and evil things. And soon she found it easier not to care and not to feel bad anymore. And she gave herself over to evil completely. And soon she found herself under control of dark forces and demons. And she was terribly miserable and terribly unhappy. She had continued, though, however, in all this to remember that land and thought, maybe someday I'll be able to go over there. And she would remember the happiness she had there. And so she saved more and more and more money. And she, one day, after all of this, she was, though possessed by demons, though miserable and angry and dark, and sometimes she would act in uncontrollable, wicked ways, and she would wake up, and there were stories about her, about town, about how wild and evil and vicious and crazy and evil and immoral she was. She would remember that she wanted someday to go back to the field, and she'd want to go back to be where it was happy as a child with her mom and her dad, and life was easy and good. One day, as she had saved a lot of money, she thought maybe she could go buy the property. And of course, she was didn't look like she used to. She was hardened and hurt and wounded and scarred. And she went out to that property, and she walked there and found the way eventually, and found the other town. And of course, her dad took her there when she was a kid, and she had to look and search. And she thought she found the spot, but all was there was a large farm. And she was sure that was the hill they used to sit on, but now it was pigs walking on it, and the whole field was trampled, and there was no more flowers, and there was horses and goats and animals. And she walked up to the house, and then she could just tell this was the place. And of course, the woman and the man saw her coming and said, what do you want here? We don't want your kind here. And she said, I used to come here as a child, and I want to buy this land. They said, you don't have the money, and we wouldn't sell anywhere. This is our land. Leave. Get out of here. And they chased her off and screamed and yelled at her. Of course, the flowers were gone. The smells were gone. And now every memory, she couldn't even come back and look at it anymore because it was all chewed up land, used and plowed and eaten and dunged upon by animals. And every beautiful smell was gone, and it was no longer there. She went back and just got so depressed, she became worse. She gave herself more over to evil and became more and more evil and immoral and hurt and wounded. One day, just so happened, she was walking by the shops in town seeking another customer, and she suddenly smelled that smell. You know, there's nothing like smell. You can remember smells when you're a kid. All of a sudden, it brings you back to a teacher that used to wear that perfume, or that grandma and grandpa's house, or some certain smell. And she smells, that beautiful favorite smell. And she stood there, transfixed, and just closed her eyes and imagined she was with her mom and dad again, and she was a happy, innocent child, and life was good, and people treated her right, and she wasn't vicious and angry, and those evil torments that made her claw herself and hate herself and do terrible things and attack people, and all that wasn't there anymore, and she smelled the smell and was transformed back. She noticed that a lady was standing by her, and the smell was coming from the lady, and she said, excuse me, ma'am, and the lady kind of looked at her and said, what can I help you with? She says, that smell you have, what is that smell? She says, it's this kind of ointment. And she says, but it's very expensive. She says, where'd you get it from? She says, well, the store up there in town where the expensive stuff, but she wouldn't buy it, will not even go there. She says, one container of that stuff costs $20,000. She stood there irresolute. She walked up to the store and walked in, and when she walked in, every eye turned on her and looking at the way she was dressed, and she was dressed bad, and she was the hard look on her face and the tangle of her hair and the dirt on her, and they looked, and immediately the man came over and said, leave our store. And she says, I want to check out your bottles of perfume. I want to buy one. And says, you can't afford anything in this store. She says, please, let me just smell them. I will pay for it. No, get out of my store. And he shoved her out of the store. She ran home crying. She dug up her box of money, now over $20,000, runs back all the way to the store with the money, walks in the door. The man comes there to hit her, and she opens her box, and he sees all the money in there. He says, which perfume would you like to smell? And she walks to one, walks to the next. And they're in order, and they're more and more valuable, and they smell beautiful, but it's not the one she wants. And finally, she gets the most expensive at the very top. And somehow, someone had some kind of ointment, some kind of lotion that smelled just like those flowers. How much? Everything in your box. I'll take it. She takes it back. She takes it to her dingy apartment, and she just sat there smelling it. She'd go out work the next night, but she wasn't quite as depressed because she would smell that smell. She'd come home and just open the lid and smell it. She had a filthy bed. She had a filthy room. She had a little shack there abandoned. She would scream with the demonic possession and the evil in her. And she was confused and angry and all the time. But every once in a while, when she was at her darkest hour, when she was abused and hurt and wounded by some man some night, she would go and just close her eyes and smell the perfume and the ointment. And she would think of being in the field with her mom and dad. She became older, less attractive, more abused, less money. Many times she thought, I could sell this ointment and have some money. I could buy a nice house in another town. But she loved it so much, she could never get herself to sell it. In her heart, she loved that so much. She was an empty person, an angry person, a hurt person, a guilty person, an ashamed person, a possessed person, a person of wickedness, a person known around town. One day, she's walking through town with nothing to do and being driven around. She's strangely driven towards a debate that was being had between the religious people and all the religious people. She hated them because they hated her. And as they were debating, they were arguing, one of the men it seemed like everybody was against was standing there talking. And he said, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And her ears perked up and said, free? I haven't been free since I was 15. What does he mean, free? And he continues on, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And the powers inside of her that tormented her and hated her and made her hurt her own body and made her drove her to terrible, shameful things, seemed to scream inside of her and push her and say, get away, this is terrible. And they seemed tormented, which kind of made her happy. They continued on in the big debate. She didn't understand all the doctrine they were talking about. And eventually, they took up rocks to stone this man who seemed so nice. And he escaped out of their sight. And she began to inquire because she heard talk about this man and started asking some of the people that she knew, which are people nobody else wanted to talk to, and they said, oh yeah, that's Jesus. And she says, oh man, I heard his words and they're beautiful. They said, he has beautiful words and he can do miracles. They say he's the Son of God. And she said, well, I don't know who he is, but boy, he spoke of something and it sounded so good to me. One day she heard Jesus was doing miracles outside of town. She tried to go, and the demons in her screamed and said, do not go, do not go, do not go. And she said, I've got to go. And she said, God, whoever you are, help me to go. I want to see this Jesus. I want to hear those words again. It sounds like he can maybe set me free and make me happy again and make me have hope again and make me not so suicidal and hopeless and angry and depressed. And she seemed somehow to find the strength to follow the crowds running out there. And he was standing there talking up on a little hill, and he was saying wonderful words, and she sat and listened. And afterward, people started going to her, and she was amazed as a blind man was healed and a lame person was healed. And as somebody else came up, and then she was shocked, she saw someone writhing on the ground and screaming, and Jesus commanded, and demons came out, and that person who was writhing on the ground stood up happy and joyful. And she said, could that happen to me? And forgetting all care about what anybody thought, she screamed as loud as she could and ran up. And as she was coming, the demon said, you may not go. And she don't know what happened. She just kind of blacked out and fell on the ground. And she just remembered the demon screaming out of her. And she looked up and there was Jesus looking down at her with compassion. She doesn't remember much else except for screaming terrible words out and pain and screaming, and suddenly silence. And a lightness, a rest, a refreshing comes into her. And she looks up, and there is Jesus holding his hand out and lifts her up. And just that look, and she knew she would never be the same. And she believed immediately all that they said about him being the Son of God. Boy, she was so happy. She had no desire to go. She didn't care if she never made another dime. She didn't care if she starved to death. She was not going back to where she was. She saw there was hope, there was a life. And all she wanted to do was be a follower of God and follower of Jesus and live this life. She began to tell people what Jesus did for her. She went around town telling people. Of course, people were like, what, are you crazy? You're that wicked woman. You're that. She didn't care. She found her bad friend, says, you're coming with me. We're going to go find Jesus. And she would take people to Jesus and tell people about Jesus. And she was so excited about Jesus. And she was a new woman, and she was happy and peaceful. And suddenly her dark house looked bright, and everything was good. And one day she heard that Jesus was having dinner. And she felt such a love for Jesus and such a love for one who set her free. And she said, he did so. He gave me everything. He gave me life. He gave me freedom. He gave me peace. What can I do for him? I have nothing. And she said, wait a minute, I have one thing. I have my perfume. I have my ointment. And she took her ointment out of the house as she was walking by her part of the town. She heard everyone, what is that smell? That's beautiful. She walked up, she came and walked up to Simon's house, went to the front door, and Simon is a Pharisee, and he was rich, and they said, get out of here, woman, what are you doing? And she tried to get in, I need to see Jesus, you cannot, he's having a meal with Simon, and get out of our house, and you can't be here. And she went, snuck around, walked quickly through the quarters of the maids, and went through into there, and saw Jesus sitting at the table with Simon, and she quickly went up to him, and she quickly began to weep and fell at his feet. In love for her Savior, she opened up her box of ointment and poured all of it on his feet. She began to weep in love for him and wipe his feet with her hair and her tears and wept at his feet. And suddenly, Jesus began to rebuke the man he's with. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him, he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon said, I suppose, to he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. And she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the head of her hairs. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, Simon, who think you're so good, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And when they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, who is he that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto them, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. John chapter 12. Another woman, this looks like a similar story, but the details are different. It's at a different person's house. It's at the end of Jesus' life. It's anointing his head instead of his feet. It's a different woman, but the same type of story. John chapter 12 and verse 1. When the 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was that had been dead, he raised him from the dead. There made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped the feet with his hair. And the house was filled with the odor of his ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This was not part of the conversation in the last story. It's a different story. This is right towards the end of Jesus' life. The other one is middle of his ministry. And he said, why was this not given to the poor? This is tens of thousands of dollars. Another spot it says 300 pence, probably about 10 months' wages. And he said, not did he care for the poor because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor have you always with you, but me you have not always with you. It's a sinful woman. She didn't have many means. She took her most valuable thing and poured it out on Jesus' feet. We have no clue that the Lazarus family is rich. Yet this is very costly, it says. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And she pours it on Jesus and they said, what a waste! But that's the best they had. And they wanted to show Jesus, my most treasured, my most valuable, it's not good enough for you, but I'll give it to you. All of it poured out to be a blessing at Jesus' feet. In one spot poured in his head, in one spot poured in his feet, very precious, very costly. What do you have too valuable to break for your Savior? Let's pray. Father, we sure do hold on to things, Lord. We, as humans, have these things that are our sacred cows, our favorite treasure, our favorite part of our life, the thing we treasure the most. The thing we hold on to very tightly and says, don't ask for this. I pray tonight that all of us be willing to take very precious things and pour them at the Savior's feet. Because you're worthy and because we love you much, you never rebuke them, you praise them for doing so. Lord, may we never give you the leftovers. May we give you our best. May we love you more than anything in this life. May we lay everything we have and let it be spoiled and cast away and what humans would call be wasted at your feet. Please, Lord, help us to realize that everything we have is from you and you deserve everything we have. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Too much of forgiven, the same love it much. There are things that we hold on to. There are things that are valuable for us. Your life is not your own, but you may think, I don't want to give my life to God. He might send me where I don't want to go. He may ask me to break up this relationship. How valuable is that relationship? Is that boyfriend or girlfriend more important than Jesus? That money of yours, you're just clinging on to. You got to have it. It's your security. That plan for your life, that dream of your life, can you lay everything at Jesus' feet? I was one time told by someone who valued this world very much and said they were a Christian that, you know what, your kids could do a lot better than just going to ministry. They're very smart. They could have great careers. Sorry. Laying my kids at Jesus' feet is not a sacrifice. It's a blessing. Whatever he wants to do with them, it's a great thing to do. He is worthy. There's nothing that's so high that you better hold on to as your own. And you shouldn't pour at Jesus' feet. Everything for Jesus. If he's given you something, if you have something valuable, if you have some treasure, are you willing to pour it out at Jesus' feet? How about your own life? Are you willing to give a living sacrifice for him? The message is what it is. If God's spoken to you, he wants you tonight to just lay some at Jesus' feet. To realize there's nothing too valuable. Who tonight would say, you know what? My precious ointment, whatever it is that comes to your mind, I'm willing to lay at Jesus' feet. My life, my very everything, my family, everything I am.